It's good to be back here tonight. You know, to come here or to come and teach or expound on the Word is a very interesting dynamic, as you see in the parables tonight, where the Word goes out. And what happens after that, it's like the farmer or the man that sows it. He spreads it out. After that, he says that my word does not return void. It does something. Before we start, let's pray that God would open up our ears, our hearts, to receive His word. You know, I don't know what you've gone through this week. I've already seen a person all bruised and beat up. You know, and sometimes if we could see ourselves spiritually, you know, the battles, the rages that we go through, if you were to come to my job, the negativity in these kids' lives, they have no reason to live. They are hopeless, and they demonstrate it every day, every moment. These are the kids that, you know, the next turnaround, they'll end up with Vanessa or someplace worse. But you have to be that shining light there to them, one way or another. You remember that t-shirt I wore last week? It had the hole in the hand. I remember the first time I wore it to work, and when the girls looked at me and said, "Why are you wearing that?" And you know, by law, by government, I'm not allowed to say anything about it. I said, "This is the same shirt that was given to me, that are given to missionaries who go into China." And I didn't show you, the flip side of that shirt had a Bible verse under it. In English and in Chinese. I said, here's a reason. And we still, you know, as Jesus got into the boat and he was teaching the multitude, he was expounding, that word was going out. He was loaded for bear. He was ready, you know, to give to this world his life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Open our hearts tonight to receive from you this great power that comes through your word. Lord, that it perform what needs to be done in our hearts, in our walk, in our church, in our community, in our personal life, in everything that we do. But we know, Lord, that you are the greatest servant ever. The suffering servant for us. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to be here. As Joe prayed also, that we are able to be here to hear you. Come reach our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin in verse 21 of chapter 4 of the book of Mark. And how many of you studied ahead or for this week? If not, you know, the Lord may zap you tonight if you didn't. Just kidding. But, you know, we have these parables before us. And I, you know, I can sit here and I will talk about them. Because as you study God's Word, you can go into this commentary here. You got Course and Commentary here. You got Chuck Smith here. You have all these others. And then by the end of the day, you're like, I'm in front of you. What's the point? I want to expand on the scriptures that it comes out the same way as Christ put them out to the multitude. I don't want to really go commentary, what I remembered or grasp here or there. Yes, there are good things out there to grasp from. But I desire for God's Word to reach your heart, that you do something for Jesus Christ, that you proclaim the name of Jesus to your community, to your nation, to your job, wherever you're at, to your own life, that Jesus be alive to you and to your heart. Because it, when it hit that good fertile soil, it was 30 and 60 and 100 that it produced that type of fruit. I want God's Word to convict me and come and speak to me. This Phil, without God's Word, is stubborn. You don't want to know Phil's heart without God's Word. And even at times with His Word, the Lord rebukes me, and I need His Word. I need His encouragement. I need His love. And He always, afterwards that He taught, He always told His disciples, this is what this means. This is, let me give you the lowdown, the whole thing on what just happened here in this parable. And He left those that did not have understanding or could not hear or could not see, He left them where they were at. And the same way with us. The Word, we see it, we read it. What's going to happen to us? What is it going to do to us? How is it going to affect me? What is it going to produce in me? If He could have spoken every correct word, everything just right, and overpowered our hearts, we would all be saved. We would all be doing everything. It doesn't happen that way. He is a gentle, kind, and loving God. He's not going to say, he's perfect. He could have said every perfect thing out in the open, but He spoke these parables to them. He could have said every correct word. There was a time I was on the airplane and I was just witnessing to this guy. And I was just going at him and going at him and going at him. Not, coercion. And then I said, would you like to receive Christ? And he goes, I don't understand this and I don't know why I'm saying yes. But you can tell when you're sowing God's Word into people. At times you're sitting there one-on-one or with a multitude or with people. And you're watching the Word do the work just as a sower would plant. And it's like, something's happening. Something's working. Almost 10 years ago, I did the craziest thing. And you probably sit here and said, you did that? I said, yeah. I was on a mission trip. And I told the kid, he was the trip or the team photographer, the videographer. He says, videotape me while I'm witnessing to this guy. This guy was an ice cream vendor with his little cart. And I go to witness to him. And he fell into the whole scenario that I was doing. Because I was doing it for the camera. And I was witnessing to him. And he finally said, I'm saved, okay? I received Jesus right now. Let's get this over with. And I'm left there like, you just ruined the whole thing for me. And that was not the way that the Word that was given to me, coercion, or for me, for my sake? Yeah, Pete, I did that. I'm not proud of it. But, those are the things that happen. From churches to where, whatever. The Word is given sometimes. As my pastor has told us, we live in the Bible Belt, and majority of the time all we get is a buckle. Boom! There's no edification. It happens that way. But Jesus here is giving the Word. And this, I'm not going to make it spectacular. This, it does it on its own. It says here in verse 21, also He said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. I've been in churches where they break this out and say, all you dirty laundry's coming out. This is not that. This is this great mystery to be brought out. This is the Word of God. This is the mystery, or this is the kingdom of God to be brought out. It's not to be hidden. I know we have those little child or Christian children songs. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. If we were to do that, you know, we just put this down here and I'll break out poetry for you. There are churches close around you right here that I know of. They don't bring this to church anymore. Much less expound on it. They don't bring it anymore. They don't carry it anymore. Now, I'm not taken away from this parable by saying that, because from this parable, we are not to hinder or stop and hide this word, this mystery that comes out, this light, this lamp. You're the light of the world. It is brought to light. You can't hide. We're not supposed to. It says here to hide it what? Put it under a basket or under a bed? Paul said, I have given you the whole counsel of God. Every bit of it. I didn't hide this portion or that portion. And here the Lord Jesus is bringing everything to light that needs to be brought up. What a foreign thing to this world to bring this lamp. Everything you and I need that pertains to God and to godliness is being brought forth in this chapter. Everything. Everything you and I need to know. Where is it in my heart? Is it in my under my bed in my heart? Is it under a basket in my heart? What's smothering it in my heart? Is it running free? Is it shining in my heart, in my life? Let the truth of God come out clearly. Not only for me, but it says here that what? If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear. Try not to hear me. What is he saying here to you? What is he speaking to you? If you have ears, let Phil hear. And not let, you know, the thorns, the crowding of life, you know, just push me further and further away. Because the multitudes that were there, he was a Jesus that multiplied food. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. And not everybody was there for worship and adoration. Not everyone was there to hear. You and I have thorns in the side. And at times those thorns, those issues, those pains, those heartaches, those things can eclipse what we need to get from God. It'll hide it. It'll put it under a bed. It'll put it under a basket. The heartache, the pain, the issues of life. Paul talks about those that are enlisted for Christ cannot afford to get in the affairs of this world, to be overtaken by them. Don't hide. This is not to be hidden. This is not something, well, I went to Bible study Wednesday night and guess what? I now know what Jesus is talking about and you don't. And because you're not behaving today, I will not share with you. Okay? Until you start behaving, then I'm going to let the light out.
Oh.
It's like the disciples saying, Lord, you want us to call down fire on these people. It's that same frame of mind, that same spirit. Go into all the world as you know the Great Commission and make disciples in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. How will they know? How are they going to hear unless someone is sent across the street, into the cell, into the hospital room, wherever the Lord calls you to be? Take heed. It says here, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Enjoy or partake in what God is telling you and I tonight. What am I hearing tonight? I bring back Holly and Dad, sometimes it's just, we have to shut you out. What you're going to receive tonight is what you're going to receive tonight. And what you're going to get out of it is what you're going to get out of it. Not being cruel or anything like that. Let the word go forth and just, I hope it bombards your heart in a great way. I hope I'm not coming across, you better get this. I'll hurt. No, not that. And you just hear God's word as you read it and your ears are open. Do something in my heart. There's changes that need to happen in my heart. There's changes that have been happening in my heart lately for the good. And that's all because what? Being in Bible study, being in God's Word. Not because I read that self-help book, How to Help Your Marriage Feel, or how to be positive. No, it's that the Word is brought forth and it begins to grow inside of me. And like I said, that I had talked about John Corson. You know, you don't see that pecan tree out there. Oh, I got to pump out some pecans. No, it's just like, hey, how's it going, Joe? And it's like, hey, it's okay, man. It's all right. Not like, oh, trying to be nice to you. No. It's like the Word comes in you and Jesus wants to be inside of you. John talks about, and we beheld him. We saw him. We touched him. And this is what Jesus wants you to get from him. That you are touched by his word. That you and I are touched by his love for us, his compassion. Because guess what? You're going to be kind and compassionate and go out there in the highways and the hedges and share the word and put your arm around the lost, the prostitutes, the homosexual, all those things that I meet every day, I'm involved with every day. If you have an ear, hear. Then he said to them, verse 24, take heed what you hear. Careful what you hear. Pay special attention to what you hear. Now we could say, what have you been hearing lately? You know, Jesus could be saying that, but he's not saying that. What are you hearing? Let me tell you, after a while you keep hearing, and I have to be careful at work, but because it is such a demonized area. If you're not careful, you have to be careful. You have to have God's word in there defending you, protecting you. But here it is saying, take heed. Listen, this light that you're seeing, this knowledge that you're receiving, take heed what you hear. What am I going to do with what I'm listening to, what I've been studying, what I've been reading? With the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear more, or to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. It's natural. It's natural. We are what we eat. We know at times where, you know, nobody wants to confess it. There are times I go on weeks into serious Bible study, or even a simple devotion, if I'm not careful. And then this is not like the worldly system or anything like that. It's not like the prosperity people you put in and you get out and all this. It's not that. It's the simplicity of the gospel, of the knowledge that God gives you and the wisdom that God gives you. So much has been given to you. Guess what? You start applying it. You start using it. You start blessing others with it. Guess what? He's going to pile it on you. He's just going to pile it on you. We don't get involved in this word. Guess what? It's like it's taken away. It's as simple as that. It's just not there. So one, it has to be working in you. One, to produce fruit, and more will be given to you. And if not, I mean, you listen to it here and you think you're going to get all blown up. You know, I'm loaded with the word. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes, you know, if we could see it spiritually, we're like obese Christians sometimes. I can quote any scripture to you. Anything. Breakout. I got the right one for you and the other one for you. And it's like, are you producing fruit? So take heed, you know, what I hear. Same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Not being late. I'll leave that alone. But just remember, for whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So I want to be listening. What is the Lord trying to tell me here? And how do I use it? How do I apply it to my life? How do I give it to other people? If we go back in Philippians, it says, you know, let your gentleness be known to all men. The same way. I want to give this word to you. In gentleness and compassion and truthful, where God may either convict, cleanse, correct, or whatever the Word of God needs to do. Simple and pure. I don't know. I know some of you guys, but I don't know what you're going through. A lot of the stuff, what you're dabbling in or messing with, or I don't. But this word does know. And it's like I've heard it said, you know, the more you read God's word, it is reading into you. It is speaking to you. You start reading and it's like, how'd you know this word? So we look at the parable of the lamp. It's a light. It's knowledge. It's wisdom. It comes to humanity, not from earth. Because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. When he came down, he brought all this with him. Apostle Paul talks about knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. This, without God's love, you'll destroy people. You'll hurt people. You'll be just puffy. You know, I got all this knowledge. And you start looking down at people. You're down there. But love's like, no, bro. Love loves humanity. He wants to build you up. He wants to encourage you. He wants to show you that light that is given here. You might encourage someone, you might love on them, but you also have to tell them about this man, this Savior here. Don't put him under. Don't put him under the bed. Don't put him under the basket. Don't put your little Jesus under the basket. He's over there. Let me out. Let me out of here. I want to get out. Don't be ashamed of that. Let him out. If you study or read or hear from K.P. Yohannes, he will convict you. The countries, and he talks about how many are going into eternity without Christ. Because there's someone, not to say that's a guilt trip, but we're put on this earth not to hide this Jesus, this word. Not in here. Because I could come here tonight and say, everything's lovely, it's great, everybody's having a great week. Christmas is coming. And let me break out the poem that I drew or the picture that I did for you. And I'm smothering Jesus over there. He's like, man, you better let me out. You're going to have issues with me. Here's knowledge that I want to give you and partake with you. He's sitting on a boat and he's talking to multitudes and multitudes of people. And he's making a statement to Satan, I'm here. You may persecute my boys, and you may put me on the cross, but I'm here. I'm here. It's too late. I've come to make a dent into this world for eternity. I'm here to come and get you. I'm here to rescue you. I'm here to take you to where you're supposed to be. Our citizenship is in heaven. And that's where he's coming from. Verse 26, the parable of the growing seed. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. And should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. How simple this is. He doesn't know how this happened. But yet, when things are ready, he drops the sickle and he picks up the harvest. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. We think at times, and if you think in that economy, in that heart. I don't know how this is happening. It comes. Or if you look at your heart and that word is planted in there. And it's ripening in there. And it's coming to. It's. You know, it yields crops by itself. The simplicity that he breaks it down into first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts this in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now you can go to many commentaries and they'll give you one side or the other side. And he's ready and it's ripened. He will get his people. Verse 30. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? What's this going to be like? Or with what parable shall we picture it? He wants to explain the kingdom of God. It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all seeds on the earth or on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches, so the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. We have here a mustard seed and becomes a plant. And here it becomes too big, many commentaries would say, or becomes abnormal. So abnormal that the birds of the air come and sit on it. You know, these big systems in the world that have nothing to do with Jesus come and roost. Otherwise known, if you read the book of Revelation, the harlot. Any work of God, the enemy will want to roost on it. And he is saying here that this thing grows and it has branches. This is not a normal, what do you call it? It's not a normal mustard bush, mustard seed bush, or herb. I mean, if you're out there and this thing's got birds on it, I mean, if you plant rosemary or you have thyme or whatever, and then all of a sudden you got birds and chickens and everything on it, it's not normal. There are many churches, I mean, this fellowship here is like peaceful. But you get in some fellowships that they don't even know what's going on. They don't even know where the money may be going. And here it is explaining the kingdom of God. How in the world can the kingdom of God be infested by birds, by the demonic? Look at my life. If you're not careful, the enemy will come over there, try to make a nest on your head. Yeah, keep that same thought. Oh, hate that person. Oh, look at that. Oh, check that out. That's as simple as that parable. Your brain can be just like growing and growing. If you're not careful, things will come in there and roost on it. The enemy. And he said to them, and with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But I love this part. It says, but without a parable, he did not speak to them. But when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. You say, why didn't Mark write that explanation that they got? You know what I'm saying? That's what I want. I want that too. But I think it's given to us also that we grasp this or not. And, you know, maybe another 2 years you'll be back at Mark. Say, wow, the Lord is just breaking this down more and more for me. I'm glad that Calvary Chapel does the verse by verse, chapter by chapter study. I'm tired of man's opinion. I'm tired of denomination slant. Let Jesus explain, let the Holy Spirit explain everything about Jesus to him. I'll pull you in private. Come on over here. Because I would have been the first one. What in the world? What did you say? What is this? Calm down. I'm going to give it to you. Because God has given me the heart that I want to share it with others. I don't want you to say, well, here, Jesus went to the cross. Accept them or else. Or I'm done here. Praise the Lord, we're gone. Send the money. No. I want to know what I'm talking about. I want to know what Jesus is talking about. And he explained all things to his disciples. He's not a God. Well, he's a secret guy. It's a deeper mystery. You'll never get it. I've seen teachers teach that way. I know you guys will never get this, so I'll never teach it because it's way above your head. Jesus is not like that. If I could grasp everything right now, I would love that, but I can't. But he continues to feed me and give me his word. Here's what I have for you. And here in the last few verses, let me read it. I'm running short on time. And then verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" He has spoken his word. This is where we're going. This is what we're going to do. And it happened. It is said it is the same type of words that he used to rebuke the enemy when he rebuked the water. It was the same form when he cast out demons that he used when he spoke to the wind. When he said, "Peace, be still." They say it is the same way when he cast out demons. Meaning, the enemy also wanted to stop him from going to the other side. Peace be still. Peace be still. And he took them from where he said, or he spoke the word, and completed what he said on the other side. Why is Mark saying these words, this little trip that we're having, this voyage we have, to demonstrate the power of Jesus that he had, and he still has, over nature, over the enemy, and to also to keep his people and to watch over them. He is done teaching. You and I receive teaching, and guess what happens after? There's a test. Simple. Just like in school. The Bible. Oh, man, this is awesome. Then all of a sudden, whoop, what's happening here? Don't you care that we're perishing? We're dying. You're over there on your little pillow, snoring. Why are you so fearful, ye of little faith? He didn't say that like, "Oh, ye of little faith." He says, "Where is your faith? Come on. Didn't I speak the word to you? Let us go to the other side. Did you doubt my word? Did you put that to the side? Jesus is something else. Sometimes my mind is like, you get us in these predicaments and you're showing off and you get us out of it. And that's right. Because why? He wants the glory. He wants the praise. He wants to be known. Peace be still. And it was like, it says they became fearful. The fearful part was they feared what he had done. They're like, in amazement. He has that much power. And it wasn't just their boat. It says a bunch of little boats were with him. Means we're all floating in the same party, aren't we? We're all in the pool together. He comes to calm. It's like the house, you know. Mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But once God goes in there and makes mom happy, guess what? All the ships, all the little boats, the pastor's happy, everybody's happy. The amazement, the power that he displays by his word. Everything that was conceived here, that was brought to birth here, is by his word. In this parable, everything, every thought that has grown in your heart and in your mind is by these parables. It's by the word. It's not by a picture. If not, Jesus would have been the greatest artist ever. You know, Picasso was doing the here and then. No, it was like here. This is right here. Without his word, we're not going to get to the other side. We're not going to be. We hear his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's as simple as that. That's his kingdom. That's how it works out. Let us not make this a difficult thing. Walk in his word. Don't hide Jesus over here. Many people are so mad right now. We can't display the nativity. We can't. We're not allowed. And I, every time I drive by the schools on the way to my school, there are no more nativity signs. But the nativity signs here. We want prayer in school. Why isn't it in my home, in my heart, in my life? It's been under the bed. It's been under the basket at times. You and I receive this word. What are we going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? I don't want to just take it to Peru. Here or wherever the Lord calls me to do and to be. You know, meditate on God's love and his kindness. That he has given you his word. That we're reading this book that is over 2,000 years old. We're reading words from a book older than that. Lord, we thank you for your word. Even the smallest amount that we read tonight, Lord, help us to heed. Help us to be careful with what you have given us. And you're not over there, Lord, saying, I've given you the keys to the kingdom, and you ram the car into a tree. Now give me the keys back. No, you're kind and love, and you're wanting to say, go forth. And produce fruit. I pray for Calvary Dothan. I pray for Dothan, the city itself. Lord, that your word continue to come to this city. And to your people. And to people that have not heard of you yet. Encourage my brothers and sisters throughout the week. May your peace be with them. In Jesus' name, amen.